Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
The purpose of this podcast is to explore digital and print media. All sources we reference are owned by their respective companies, and our thoughts and opinions are strictly our own and reflect no biases or corporate agendas. Your discretion is advised. All right, we're here, and yeah, this is going to be a bit of a downer. There's really not much I can say here. This is pretty much a downer of an episode, but let's just get this out of the way. I'm Demetrius. And Meech and Meech presents
Blurred City Podcast.
Yeah, so I have to kick this episode off. You see the title of this video and think like, oh, this is gonna be an upbeat episode, but in light of just a recent event that just happened, a recent bit of news that just came about, we have to do this appreciation post at the beginning, because we just need to express how we feel. In case you guys don't know, or you've been living under a rock for like the past couple days, the manga creator Akira Toriyama, the creator of Dragon Ball, the creator of Dr. Slump, the creator of Chrono Trigger, and the creator of Dragon Quest, has sadly passed away on March 1st of 2024. This is perhaps the biggest death of this year so far, at the age of 68 years old. And as you can tell, like the vibes is all the way down right now, because there's just so much that can be said about this man. I figure I'll let you take the reins first, detail how you feel about Akira Toriyama and his works and pretty much how he impacted you.
Yeah, and I found out like most of the world Thursday, Friday. We are recording this the Saturday before this episode releases. So it's kind of like 2-3 days fresh for us. I remember it was like nighttime, and then I just saw it as like Akira Toriyama, the creator of Dragon Ball Z or Dragon Ball, just passed away. And I'm like, dude, what? And then seeing that he was only 68, and obviously 68 is like long, but you know, I've seen people live much longer. So it just like, it puts a lot of things into perspective. And speaking on that, it's just like, I was thinking of it initially where it was like, yo, this meant so much to so many people's childhoods, but it actually meant a lot to us as adults as well, because not just like Dragon Ball is like the godfather or grandfather OG of anime, really like planting that flag, but then also it expanded generations. And I remember we went to Anime Houston, and the dude was telling us the story of Akira Toriyama and just like the journey of Dragon Ball and how they begged him to continue the story because it was supposed to end essentially at the Frieza arc and then just keep going and keep going. Like, I remember like I was out of Dragon Ball for a while. And then like when I was in college, when I really started getting back into anime, Super was one of like the first shows that I binged for like all of it, because it was like at the Tournament of Power, Goku Black had already passed, and I just kept hearing stuff about how good it was, Super, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna binge this. And then, man, that, yeah, this is, it just caught me off guard, caught a lot of people off guard.
Yeah, I feel like for me, like I found out, well, I was asleep when the notice came out, so when I woke up that following morning, I saw that text from you and immediately thought, Cap. It had to be Cap, until I started doing research. And like for me, it literally, because I saw it like that Friday, so when I found out and when I like verified it all, I literally just sat in bed and like weeped for like a solid couple of minutes. Because, and you know, like I do not weep, like the last person who I weeped for passing away celebrity wise was Chadwick Boseman. But like that was more so when we were watching the Black Panther 2 movie. I really didn't. And really, if you can go back even further to like the last time I truly wept at a celebrity passing away, it was Michael Jackson. Like when he died, that's when I wept.
So, and you were much younger.
Yeah, I was much younger. I was like 13 when he died. But now, like, I'm a grown man and I'm over here in my bed weeping at the death of Akira Toriyama because of just a lot of things. There's just no way to truly express just what he did, not only just for anime, but like just for me personally. Like, just Dragon Ball as a franchise was, I grew up on it. Like, you guys may not see it, but I am wearing a Dragon Ball Z shirt on me right now. Because it was my favorite franchise, my favorite anime of all time. I do not care what anybody says. Like, I defend it till the day I die. Like, it helped get me through a lot of hard times growing up. And like, even when it was like anime was not considered cool, I still made a lot of friends from just our like casual love of Dragon Ball. It's just like, hey, you guys seen that new episode that came out? Bro, that's crazy. Gohan went Super Saiyan 2. Y'all see how crazy he was? Different things like that. And just making a bunch of friends from that franchise, helping getting me through like very hard times with different lessons, such as just never giving up, just training to be like a stronger and more resilient person. And also just the idea like, hey, when you face challenges and you survive those challenges, you come out of it stronger. Those are just different aspects of it that I just love so much. And just the characters in there they all have just very varying levels of impact for me. I can just think about it right now. Like, my favorite characters is Goku Black as a villain, just phenomenal as a villain. Super Broly, just being a relatable character. And then just recently, like before his passing, like I had like was rewatching some of the movies and specials. I rewatched the Bardock, the Father of Goku special, and just seeing like just how tragic that was. That was almost like a Shakespearean tragedy. And then like I was reading up on it and saw like Akira Toriyama said like that special was so touching to him that he actually cried. Like while watching it, that lets you know how powerful it was. And then that just ignited my love for Bardock and just like really ignited that even more to where I can now say he's in my top three of favorite characters. But as I said, I can just go on all day. Like, in fact, Dragon Ball is like, it's part of my inspiration for working out. And as such, like, I even dedicated my workout last night to him. Like, work myself to the literal bone as Goku would have done. But yeah, all that to say is like, at least, and I can like say for at least myself, and I'm pretty sure you have the same sentiment, that we just want to say thank you, Akira Toriyama. Just thank you for the creations that you've made for us. Thank you for just all the impact that you made on not only just the Japanese community, the Black community, and most surprising of all, the Latin American community, because they go crazy for Dragon Ball. And and just be able to say like you're alive, like when you're alive, I'm pretty sure you saw the impact that each of these communities have been affected by your work, especially considering your upbringing, how it was hard for you to even draw manga. It was hard for you to like even get your manga published. And just for this to happen, you see like probably the most recognizable anime brand of all time, to where other anime are inspired by you as a person. Just thank you, Akira Toriyama. You can rest now. You can rest and just know that your legacy is going to last literally for generations, especially in my family line. I'm going to make sure my entire family line is going to watch Dragon Ball growing up.
You and your Saiyan princes and princesses.
Yep. We are the Saiyan Empire. But yeah, and thank you.
You speak of popularity, like Dragon Ball was one of the few anime, even before anime got popular, where unless you were trying to go Super Saiyan, most people wouldn't make fun of you for it. because it was that good. And then also, like, again, before we actually knew what anime was, it kind of passed.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Off as a cartoon, at least in America. So it was like, Dragon Ball is one of the few things where it was like, it had that mainstream. It touched the mainstream before it became mainstream. And then also just like what you mentioned with like, it's not even one of the most recognizable creators of all time in any type of medium. Like, you put them up there with a Harry Potter, with a J.K. Rowling, with a Tolkien, Lord of the Rings, Star Wars with George Lucas. It is literally in that conversation with all that, with all of them. I mean, just look at the money, look at the fandoms, and you can argue it has even more worldwide reach than some of those, so... Yeah, definitely, like, Meech, what you said. Thank you so much, Akira Toriyama. And this just goes back to what we say throughout the podcast. For listeners, if you have people in your lives that you appreciate, especially that you can, you know, reach out, touch, get in contact with, just let them know that you appreciate them. And, you know, maybe you don't love them, but, you know, like them, or like the impact that they have in their lives. So, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And that's just an excellent note that we can end on. As we, actually, you know what? First of all, let's just go ahead and take a quick break real quick. Let's just go ahead and get our minds right and get our hearts right for this absolute disaster of what we're about to get into.
All right. Now that we're back from break, definitely giving Akira Toriyama his flowers, we are getting into debauchery, I would say, an egregious mistake that was made in the gaming realm. Something that I was completely confused about because it happened so quickly, but apparently the lead up to it happened over the course of a long period. So we were talking about the day before, a quote unquote game that came out at some point last year or 2 years ago. I think it was last year. So I talked to Meech about this, and I was like, hey, I think when I was on my hiatus, you should do an episode about this because I don't know what's going on. And he was like, no. We got to do it when you get back because I need you to, because I was like, I don't know what happened with it. And he was like, no, I need you to be my conduit for it. So with this, I'm just going to be like kind of the stand-in for the people that don't know what happened with this game, quote unquote game. Meech did a lot of research for it. I had my homework assignment. I only listened to watched the playthrough of Rad Brad doing it, and then I watched three quote-unquote trailers about the game. So I actually don't really know what's going on, so Meech, you can take over.
All right here we go. All right, so as we know, The Day Before was a game that, upon release, crashed and burned, as many people, you know, like myself, predicted would happen. But what we didn't expect was that in the span of 4 days, the game would lose about 80% of its player base, refunded on a mass scale, exposed as nothing but a basic asset flip, delisted on stream, and with the cherry on top, the closure of Fantastic, the studio that made it. That's basically the TLDR. But how did we get here? How did we get to this point? Well, let's go back to the very beginning of it, right? So, because this needs to be studied. This needs to be studied by all aspiring game developers and just everything like that. I have done extensive research into this disaster, multiple video essays, multiple documentaries, scouring the depths of Twitter, and use like the Wayback Machine to get as much detail as inhumanly possible. And this is the result of all my legal training as a potential future attorney. And I am more than happy to get into this disaster. And I have written this. I have 7 pages worth of notes.
Wow.
And we're going to get into it. I separated these into chapters. All right. So let's get into chapter 1, shall we? All right. So January 2021, IGN, our favorite video game source of information, posted a trailer just out of nowhere for a game called The Day Before. And that trailer looked very nice. You know, post-apocalyptic New York during winter with snow, sleet, rain puddles like it was in like in the Cyberpunk trailer, you know?
Yes.
All the worst. Survivor scouting for Luke. It looked pretty good. Good. Did you see that one?
I did. That was the first one that I saw. I watched it after the Brad. So I'm going to save my comments because I know you're going to build it up. But it did look like something that was worth playing.
Yep. And it looked very familiar to a lot of game people. And you want to know why?
Why?
Because the trailer was basically a direct and blatant ripoff of Ubisoft's Tom Clancy's The Division.
Wow.
To an absurd degree.
Jeez. But isn't IGN like a well-known brand?
Yep.
Would they not know that?
You think. You think. But yeah, so yeah, just keep that in the back of your mind, because it only goes downhill from here. All right, so that trailer was basically, it was hype, all right? Everyone saw it. They're like, who in the world is the studio that made this cinematic masterpiece? Mm-hmm. All right, and who was Fantastic? Well, you think like, all right, Fantastic, they must have like a pretty large gaming developing studio, because this is a pretty... I said, this is like, the graphics was on point. Like, it was crisp. And you think like, okay, they must have had a large studio behind it, right? Wrong. It was helmed by just two brothers.
Okay.
And essentially, and you think like these two brothers were probably the game development leads. And digging into the history of Fantastic, right? Before then, they produced like a slew of gaming projects that, one, do not look half as visually impressive, and two, were abandoned like a few months or like 18 months like afterwards. So like, for example, there's this one game that was basically crowdfunded in 2016, released in early access 2017, and they ceased working on it in 2018.
Gee.
There was another game called like The Dead Dozen. It was kind of like a horror game, like first person shooter, released in 2018, and then delisted from Steam like a year and a half later.
Okay, so for people that don't have a Steam account, what does delisted mean?
All right, so delisted basically means that Steam takes it off of Steam. So in essence, you can view the game, like you can search it up, but you can no longer buy it at all. That's what it means by delisting it. And there's only one game of note that they released, and it's called Prop Night. And basically, it's essentially, you know, like Gmod's prop hunt, where you pretty much become props and hide from a monster. And it's the only game that's still fully playable to this day. That's actually kind of crazy. But the ratings on it was very mixed, at best. But All this background to say, like, there was basically no way Fantastic could have delivered a game that looked as great as The Day Before, at least what that trailer showcased.
Mm-hmm.
And just a little while later, they showcased like another trailer through IGN to show off gameplay in air quotes, which, and like the graphics made it more like an open world survival MMO, like stunning visuals, drivable vehicles, vehicle repairs, combat with like zombies and zombie hordes, internal space, PvP, all that good jazz. And you're thinking like, man, this is starting to look good.
Mm-hmm.
And then they released a like release date trailer, like giving even more details, like, okay, you can like do base building. There's like a hub area where you can chat with other players. You can craft weapons. And was going to release on June 21st, 2022.
Okay.
Good heavens. And once that trailer hit, The Day Before became the most wishlisted game on Steam, which means that, like, basically people, like, liked it so much. And, like, whenever it's available for release, you get a notification on your phone to be able to go buy it.
I do remember, like, when it, before, like, it dropped, like there was a lot of hype behind it, and like people were really looking forward to it as well.
Mm-hmm. So much hype. But this is where
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
This is where things all the red flags start showing up immediately. So after this, like late 2022, like pretty much only like a month before the release date, there's no announcements, there's no more trailers, just nothing, no beta testing, nothing happens. And what happened a month before a release date? Well, let's get into chapter 2. All right, so to the surprise of pretty much anybody with an IQ below 7, in May of 2022, Fantastic announced that the game would be delayed. And delayed to when? March of 2023. So why? Why would you delay a game that close to the release date?
Yeah.
Well, for them, they said that they were transitioning the engine from Unreal Engine 4 to Unreal Engine 5. Now, what does that mean? Essentially, they're pretty much like the development engine that's used to create the game. They were essentially upgrading the specs on it.
Okay.
Basically, like, it's kind of like upgrading your PC. You're upgrading, like, your graphics card. You're upgrading all the specs on it.
Uh-huh.
And to like make the game like more realistic, more fantastic, if you will.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you starting to feel some shade coming in yet?
Yeah.
Why would you do that? And like in my research, I found like that according to game developers, right? For like if it's even possible in a 10-month span, because that's how long it takes to get from like June 2022 to March 2023. For them to completely change in game engines. And they say that if they were using only the base Unreal Engine 4, then it's doable.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very unlikely that they would use only Unreal Engine 4 to make the game. They would probably use like other resources in there as well. And so, yeah, like people are getting suspicious over it, like suspicious over the delay, suspicious of like the history of the game. I mean, the history of the studio, like the last minute delay, and it keeps getting worse. So an article was published in June 2022, basically talking about how Fantastic like updated their studio and they were calling on volunteers to help make the game.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
And there's basically two types of volunteers. You could either be a full-time volunteer in which you were paid with money. I don't know if you caught that, being a volunteer being paid with money. I don't know about you, but that sounds like you're a full-time employee. I'm just saying.
Yes.
And then a part-time volunteer who'd get like non-monetary rewards. What monetary rewards you're getting for this? I assume you're probably just getting a pizza party.
It can be like how the NCAA is doing with the college football game. Like all the players that signed up, they do get $600, but then they get the free game copy as well. So maybe they got a free copy of the day before.
Bruh, actually, you're not too far off. You're not too far. So pretty much that is pretty much just causing a million and a half red flags, posing a lot of ethical concerns about like the term of the use volunteer. But like essentially, how are you going to expect volunteers to make a game that's better than what Ubisoft, who has like hundreds of experienced like various employees who grinded for years to make their games? How? And do one thing to note is that they didn't Fantastic did not ask for any money during like that campaign. There's no like pre-orders or anything like that when they were making their trailers. Which you're thinking like, okay, if this is a scam, like people are starting to believe it is, then why are you not like asking for money? Like this is prime Kickstarter material. This is prime for like a Kickstarter scam, but it's nothing like that. Well, it lied when a journalist, right? He went to Fantastic and did an interview for the day before, except for a pretty big issue. And that issue is here in chapter 3. So the journalist has been trying to get in touch with Fantastic for months, wanting like answers to like many people's questions and concerns like, hey, is this game actually real? Is this game a whole scam? And after getting the runaround for like ages, for months, they finally wanted, Fantastic finally agreed to answer their questions about the day before, but only if the journalist would ask questions about their continent app.
What?
What on earth is the continent app, you may ask? Have you heard of Microsoft Teams?
Yes.
Well, that's it. It's Microsoft Teams, but made by Fantastic.
What? What are we doing here?
So in 2018, Fantastic secured a domain for continentapp.com. It can be found today, obvious reasons, but if you use a Wayback Machine, you can find it. And they got the domain, they have it, but they didn't use it and they didn't update it till January 2023, they started like promoting the Continent app. Then a month later, so like February, they released a video that they claimed to be about the day before's development, but in reality, it was about this app that they plan on selling to the enterprise market for anybody who's accustomed to working from home, you know? So you're starting to get the issue here. You're starting to see.
Okay. I'm starting to see, but I'm not going to say. I'm going to let you keep cooking.
All right. So now here's where things start even going even more down here in chapter 4. I just need to get you that part. All right. So by this point, people are extra pissed because of that continent app trailer, because they wanted to see more real gameplay of the day before. So the people, the good people, they kept riding on Fantastic to give them what they're promised.
Okay, so quick question. With the continent app trail, I didn't see anything for that. Was it like a Steve Jobs-esque trailer where it explained the app and what happens with it?
Or? It's more like it's like, hey, we're here at Fantastic. Here's like what we do on a daily. Here's how our teams are able to communicate using the Continent app, where we're able to like do development on our upcoming game the day before and different things like that. So basically, they kind of explained what the Continent app was, maybe mentioned the day before for like a millisecond.
Okay.
Kept it going.
I see why that would, yeah, make people mad.
Oh, yeah. So people are asking for like this trailer, right? So their lead mod on their Discord server pretty much posted on their behalf like, hey, we're going to release the trailer. We're going to like release this trailer at your guys' wishes. The message was very condescending. it was like we're doing you a favor by showing you guys gameplay. Then January 25th of 2023, my mama's birthday.
Oh no.
The day before, the most listed game on Steam was delisted.
Dang.
It was like, all right, well, here we go, boys. This is what we were waiting on. This is the scam that we thought it was.
So we're not even at the second and third trailer yet?
Nah.
Oh my God.
Here's the thing, right? So Fantastic, they tried to explain themselves. They tried to sweep it under the rugs like, hey, this was just like a Steam error. But in reality, you want to know what it was? They were hit with a copyright infringement notice.
By the Division?
No. By a guy in Korea, because that guy had the naming rights to the day before.
Nani? Oh my God.
Which was like this Korean guy's like calendar app. So how could you just call a game the day before without checking to see if the name was even usable? So many legal just red flag.
Yeah, like with you being a lawyer and stuff, like I and like trademarks, copyrights and all that. Like I know like
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
There are sometimes titles for things that like overlap. So I'm kind of interested how that works. But also, you should have a team that knows stuff like that.
Yeah. So, actually, this does come up a little bit later in terms of like why so many things like can have overlapping names. Uh-huh. So how could this be possible? But because they got this copyright notice, Fantastic announced that they're no longer releasing that promised gameplay trailer from 2023, and they'd be postponing the game to November of 2023.
Oh my gosh.
An 8-month delay for a copyright claims dispute. And to as a legal guy, I can tell you right now that the legal proceedings for solving like that type of dispute can range anywhere from like a few months to a couple years.
Eesh.
Yeah, so the fact that they said, oh yeah, we're just going to delay it by 8 months.
Wait a minute. Since you're the real... So months to years. And so when this happens, they were about to release the trailer, and then conveniently, they have a copyright to speak. Something not adding up. I'm a spider web on my board.
Yep. You starting to see it now.
Something not adding up.
But no. It gets worse. Let me keep cooking. So the developers, right? They had claimed that they were already planning on delaying the game to November of 2023 before the copyright dispute happened.
Oh, boy.
And the lead mod, that same person who posted like, hey, like Fantastic, they're going to like release the trailer to y'all. He never saw such trailer. At this point, even he was not sure this game was even real.
He's
not even sure. At this point, how you feeling about this game right now, bro? You think it's like a pure scam? Like put yourself in the shoes of anybody who was there on like January 2023. You think that this game is like pure scam or not?
I mean, like, you said they're working on it, but like they're literally doing nothing. That's insane. Yeah, just to keep it going. But you're saying at the same time they weren't asking for money yet.
Yeah, they were not asking for any money.
Okay, so let's keep going.
But all right, but here's another wrench to be thrown into the wayside, right? So February 2023, again, like roughly like around the time when this copyright dispute started happening, the Continent app website got a bunch of updates. It's like, hey, we got like these new features. We can now do voice chat and do all of this. And then literally a month later in March, the website gets taken down.
Oh my gosh.
The Twitter for the Continent app gets deleted. And Fantastic just never speaks on the Continent app again.
Oh my gosh.
They even delete that trailer to the Continent app. We don't know why they did that. They don't know why the Continent app like just went down. But how in the world are we able to like bounce back? Because we know the game got released. We know that this happened. But how do they bounce back from basically everything coming crashing and burning? Chapter 5.
Oh boy.
So basically by February, essentially they're getting like a bunch of heat. They are getting pushed on all sides. So Fantastic ended up doing an interview with IGN, pretty much like trying to defend themselves, saying like, hey, this game is not a scam. And to quote them exactly, they said, when the game comes out, people will finally see the truth.
Was that the end of the statement?
Yes.
That was very accurate.
So, and then they actually decide to give us the trailer.
Is it the 30-second one or the 10-minute one?
The 30-second one.
The Need for Speed trailer?
Oh, no. Not that one.
Okay.
Not that one. So, essentially, they're like, okay, so the game was already being...
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, okay, I know.
Yeah. So the game was already a blatant ripoff of The Division, right? And from that first trailer. Well, it ain't the only thing that they ripped off in this new trailer.
Oh, boy.
They took shots and footage straight out of Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War Zombies.
Oh, my God.
They took footage directly from that trailer and put it in the game. And then another trailer on top of that, that Need for Speed trailer.
Jeez Louise.
Do you know why that one looked so familiar?
Why?
Because, you know, like character driving through an abandoned city. Well, it's such a shame that Will Smith and the I Am Legend movie came out 2 decades before.
Wow.
Like, if you put those two side by side, the scene where Will Smith is driving in that abandoned city, exact same.
Oh, my gosh.
And then, a month before the game release, they decide to say, you know what? We're going to copy Rockstar. We're copying Red Dead Redemption 2 to the point where even the dialogue that was mentioned in the trailer was the exact same. Like, bruh, if you, like, you could have swept this under the rug. You could have gotten away with the plagiarism if you did not hit the most recognizable brands.
Dude, you know Rockstar does not play because, like, with whatever happened to the GTA 6 person, they are gone. They're gone off the face of the earth. Don't play with Rockstar.
You're just like, bruh, of all people.
Not them.
Nope. And it keeps getting worse. Because, you know, it always keeps getting... This is the gift that keeps on giving with this game. So now let's get into the actual gameplay of this trailer.
That was the one that killed me.
Just... So tell the people, what you saw in that trailer?
All right, so this was after I watched the Brad playthrough, so I kind of already had a sense of what was happening. Essentially, like, I don't even want to say 3 minutes, I immediately, like, went to the comments of it and just let it play in the background. Dude, you literally, they wandered around for 10 minutes and did absolutely nothing, and all the comments about cake were hilarious. I was dying. But you essentially, there's no atmosphere to, like, the world. This is the gameplay trailer for a game that's releasing. There's no atmosphere to the world. There's no zombies in a zombie game. So, like, I think the most they did was just, like, mod a weapon, but they never used the weapon. I'm not going to get into gameplay yet because I'll let you cook into that. But you just wandered around for 10 straight minutes. It did nothing, and you interacted with no one, and you talked with no one.
All right, between that announcement trailer and this gameplay trailer, how are the visuals?
They're not what they look like in that first trailer. Like I'm not gonna sit here since it was, like, you know, the new whatever, but compared to the first one, no, it's like it was janky. Like, it was decent enough, but it would look like something that's supposed to be like a new developer on Steam, not like something that's being hyped up to the degree that it was hyped up for.
Oh, man. Yep. So, yeah, and in essence, you thought Watch Dogs' visual downgrade was horrendous? You thought the Cyberpunk visual downgrade was horrendous? Nah. You ain't got nothing on the day before's visual downgrade. This one set a new bar. A bar straight below the ground.
That was bad.
And the reception is exactly as you mentioned, just straight pandemonium. Like, dislikes out of the wazoo. Reddit decided to go crazy. that condemned this game. The Discord going wild. But at least the game was delisted, right? Right?
Right.
Well, chapter 6.
Oh.
So, Fantastic end up actually settling the copyright dispute and versus the calendar app. So they end up going to court and Fantastic actually won.
Okay.
Why they won? It's because of just this idea that
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
No one would confuse a calendar app with a video game.
Mm-hmm.
So this is kind of explains your question. It's like, hey, how can things have like multiple overlaps with the same name? Well, as long as they're basically two different mediums, you essentially have not a complete free ride, but you have a better chance of like being free to use the name as long as you're doing something completely different.
Okay. So, but like you said, mostly free, but I can't sell shoes and then call them Coca-Cola, right? Something like that.
Probably not.
Where that's like the extent of it, where it's like pushing it too far. Okay.
Yeah. If you start like calling it like the most recognizable brand, you kind of taking it a bit too far. But yeah, so because of that, like they decide, all right, we're gonna celebrate, we're gonna release we're gonna like announce that the game is back. We have like this new feature called jobs that's not classes. You get jobs in the game. And then in April, they announced that they're finally able to host a beta test. Woo! Finally, something, right? Because, you know, like a real game would have a beta test.
Got to.
There's an issue with this beta test, though. It was only available to the volunteers at Fantastic.
Oh, boy.
That was their compensation.
Oh, my gosh.
To be able to beta test this game, not the general public, but them, the internal staff.
The people making it. That's insane.
The people making this game is able to do a beta test. That's crazy. All right. So, month go by, right? November date, fast approaching. The game's finally relisted on Steam. It's finally back up. And you know how Fantastic celebrates? By delaying the game one more time to December 7th, 2023.
Oh my gosh.
But don't worry, this is the last time they delayed the game. That's the actual release date. And then the game is released in early access. Now, for all the gamers who don't know what releasing a game in early access means, well, it means that they can release the game and you pay the full amount of money, which in this case is like $50. You get full access to the game, but the game is not complete. It's not functional. Essentially, it's like you're playing the beta test of the game. So imagine like you buying like a CD that's supposed to have 18 tracks, but only like 10 of the tracks are playable type deal. And this is perfect for like a scam because like, hey, we released the game in early access. Whatever features that you did not, that we promised you in like all the trailers. Yeah. It's going to come. It's going to come eventually. The game's in early access for a reason, right?
But like even still in early access, because you've had like early access games before, right?
Oh, yeah.
You would still like have enough features for it to be playable and then also draw your interest is the thing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. In fact, Power World is technically an early access, and I play the mess out of that game.
I'm afraid of when you get full access for.
I get full access to that game. It is wraps. That's all I'm saying. But yeah. So now, there's one thing though that Fantastic now face. It was basically the fact that the people are going to compare like all the trailers that have been released to this full game. So you want to know what they did to resolve that? To resolve that little dispute?
What?
Well, December 6th, the day before is released, they went through their YouTube and deleted all the trailers.
Oh my gosh.
Deleted them straight off their YouTube channel, straight off the internet. So yeah, the trailers are now gone from the internet. There's no way people can get it back, right?
So that makes sense why I saw it on IGN when I looked it up instead of like them or what they were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because totally, that's how the internet works. You delete off your YouTube channel and you're never able to find the trailers ever again.
Yes.
And literally that same day, right, they made a tweet pretty much addressing all the haters, saying like, hey, this game's actually about to come out, addressing all the beliefs like, hey, thank you for supporting us. And then affirm that, like, yeah, this is totally not a scam at all. We didn't take a single penny from anybody. We've worked on this game for 5 years and it's completely not an asset flip. I'm going to explain an asset flip when we get to this part because it's crazy. But yeah, so they pretty much boasting for themselves like, oh, yeah, this game about to come out. We on top. And now let's get into it. Chapter 7. The day the game's released, December 7th, 2023, 10 a.m. PST or 12 p.m. CST in our time, the servers are launched. And yeah, now it's time. Yeah, actually, no. Before I do that, I need to give a little more context. So the game had 38,000 players at launch.
Okay.
But of course, by the day, it dropped dramatically. And now, get into what you saw in the Rad Brad trailer. I mean, video.
All right, so I took notes of it. So I'm not completely familiar with him as a gamer, his gamer channel, because I kind of been off recently of just, like, you know, gaming channels, and usually I just watch, like, the cinematic playthroughs. But I know that he's a very big one, and apparently from the comments, he's very generous when he plays games. Like, very kind-hearted and positive with it. But so what I saw, I took notes. So the first thing, there were connection issues from the servers with what he was doing. So there was like an America server and there was like an international server, and all of them were full. And then he got to the ones that were like mostly full. I don't know what the term was. I don't remember what the term was, but it was like mostly full, like a lot of people. So then he goes into the game and I'm watching it while I'm cooking because I know it's going to be some BS because just like this entire game. And then it's like 30 minutes in to like a 57 minute video. And I'm like, has anything happened at all yet? So like a lot of it is just like player setup, getting to know people. And it's like they're having you do like odd stuff going back and forth between people. And I'm like, usually in a video game, there's like an inciting incident. Even if, like, you do have to do all that initial setup, there's still usually an initial incident, and then you do the crack. Connection issues. So 30 minutes, no action. There is one thing, it's called Lamazon or Lamazon instead of Amazon. And I was dying laughing. So here we go to the gameplay. So when he actually goes out into the universe, and then it takes, again, forever to run into anything of value or meaning in the game, he shoots the zombies, quote unquote, shoots the zombies. And there's like a delay in the reaction to them getting hit where it looks like they're not getting hit at all. So it's like, you can clearly see he's hitting the zombies in the head and he's wasting like 6-7 bullets on it and it's missing, or it's because it's not even a lag. It's just like, it's straight up missing. And then there's a reaction that doesn't like connect to it. I'm just like, what is happening? And then even himself, he said there's just no soul to the game, like there's nothing to it. So I saw this before the trailer and I was like, yeah, this is accurate.
Yep. So just gonna keep it going. here's some more things that you probably didn't see in the Rad Brad gameplay. All right, so firstly, as you mentioned, the server issues. You know, pretty much hard to even get into the game. Now, The second thing, what you mentioned about the bullets not like registering on the zombies, that's basically latency issues.
Oh my god.
Now, there's also game-breaking bugs. There's like no geometry in some parts of the map where you fall through the world. And because the game auto-saves, if you exit out the game and come back in, your character is still falling through the world, basically soft-locked. So you gotta essentially restart another character. And what's this about open world survival MMO?
Mm-hmm.
This was not that at all.
And can you explain that for the people? Was this like the MMO part?
All right. So MMO means massive multiplayer online. Basically, what this means is that it's like an open world. So like you can do whatever. It's a survival, meaning you go around looting, you know, crafting. You're like making food for yourself. You're actually trying to live in the world. And then the MMO part is that you have hundreds, if not thousands, of other players there with you, potentially to either ally themselves with you or screw you over by killing you.
So Fortnite-esque.
Kind of Fortnite-esque. You think more like
GTA Online?
Actually, yeah. Yeah, GTA Online is actually a pretty good example of that. So yeah, this is not even the genre. You know what genre, technically, what this game is supposedly emulating?
What?
An extraction shooter.
You
know, basically you're going about, you know, you're gathering materials to help, like gathering ammo, doing all that.
Mm-hmm.
You're taking on missions. You're going around looting stuff, spawning in a random location. That's essentially an extraction shooter, and it was barely even doing that in the day before. As you mentioned, there are spans where you literally are doing nothing.
No. And then also no melee.
Oh, yeah. 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 Speaking of, the melee option is not in the game at all. It is only shooting. Like, excuse me? You could only, like, jump a certain distance. Like, mm-hmm. less than a foot off the ground. So if anything's, like, higher than your shin bone, you wasn't getting up.
GG.
There was no indication as to what box is lootable versus what isn't. And even if it was lootable, you'd have to stand at a perfect exact distance before you're even able to loot it. And looting takes, like, 30 years off your life for how long it takes. Woo, boy. That's
ridiculous.
So basically, the claim that it's an open-world survival MMO is a straight-up lie. In fact, when the game launched, Fantastic went into Steam and removed the words open survival from the game tags and removed the MMO tag from the game listing. So if you're like searching for like, oh, what are some MMO games, this game would not pop up.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So... pretty much everyone got that this game was horrible.
Mm-hmm.
You want to know how bad? Like, well, of course, like within the first few minutes, but really 2 hours passed. So 2 hours is an important time because 2 hours is how long Valve will allow you to play a game before not being able to refund it.
Mm.
And essentially, like, yeah, if you played a game past 2 hours, you were stuck with it.
Okay.
Unless the game you was playing was the day before. Let's get into chapter 8.
Oh,
the fallout. So day 2 was pretty rough. Pretty rough around the edges for those playing the game.
Mm-hmm.
Well, day 1. Day 2 was a complete hellscape. 60% of their player base ditched the game outright.
Dang.
And 20 the day after that. Everyone was refunding the game. The Rad Brad, a guy who, as you mentioned, is generous towards video games, give them the benefit of the doubt,
mm-hmm.
straight up called this game a scam and he refunded the game.
And he said that was the first time he ever refunded the game.
Exactly. Moist Critical, some ordinary gamers, straight up gave it a scathing review. The reviews on the game, overwhelmingly negative, actually beating out Overwatch 2 as the most hated game on Steam.
Dang.
And here's some stats for you. 200,000 copies of the game was sold. After the first day, 91,000 of them got refunded.
Ooh, jeez.
Just outright. And after that, right, some people, they decide to say, you know what? No, I got some time on my hands. Let's open up the game files and see what we can find about this scam. And you know what they found? The assets.
Oh.
So here's where asset flipping comes in. All right, so assets are basically like store-bought like props or guns or like features that you buy on like the Unreal Engine website, and you can like put it into your game.
Okay.
And like sometimes, and like asset flipping is basically where your entire game's nothing but assets.
So it's like essentially a mod that you can buy, kind of?
Kinda. It's more like, it's as if the mod itself was the game.
Okay, okay.
So like, so essentially like mods, they do the same thing. They modify like the assets of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, like, they just took the mod, took like the asset itself, like the basic asset.
Okay, so like instead of creating it themselves, they essentially just bought it.
Yes.
Mm.
And remember, they claimed that they did not asset flip at all and worked on the game for 5 years. Absolutely not. As I mentioned, they pretty much just bought the assets and put it in the game. No changes, or very minor changes at best.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the city itself in which the game took place at, like, you know, the graphics and, like, the entire city, that was an asset.
Oh, my gosh.
And even worse, it was created in April 2021.
Dang.
3 months after the game was announced.
So not 5 years of working on it.
So, yeah. That was just a straight up lie. Now, I do gotta say, like, asset flipping in and of itself is not bad. Like, a large number of companies, they will buy assets. And they'll use it, like, to basically stream along, like, the entire game development process because, like, it's easier. So, like, hey, if this, like, if Unreal Engine already has, like, a gun and, like, with the physics and everything to be able to shoot, we don't have to spend time, like, programming and developing a gun to shoot for ourselves.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's okay. But it's the fact that they said that they did not asset flip, that they created everything themselves. Nah. Couldn't be me.
And how, so they found it, people found it out in the file. So it's like the file would have the same one that's on the Unreal Engine, essentially.
Yeah. So it's that. And like you, and also you'd be able to like trace it back to like, okay, this actually came from this site.
So like the specs would be the same and all that. Okay.
Yep.
Oh boy.
All right. So day three, the jig is up. All right. The jig is up. 80% of the player base gone. It looked like it was cobbled together in like a few months with just nothing but assets. It's bugs and glitches galore. Not even advertised what it said it is. So, and then Fantastic had to draw the curtain. Bring this to a close. Chapter 9 is where we go. So December 12, 2023, 4 days after the game is released, Fantastic released a statement on Twitter, or I guess at this point it's X at this point. So yeah, so X, formerly known as Twitter. And normally developers, like, when they see like a game is not up to par, they usually issue out like an apology. You know, they, you know how typically like game apology.
Yeah.
In this case, instead, they announced that their studio's closing. And that the game was a complete failure. They lacked the funds to be able to continue the game development, and they needed to pay off everybody who worked on or invested in the game.
Wow.
And they, of course, reiterated that they never took any money during the development cycle, right? But at this point, damage was done, you know? Like, as I said, the jig is up. It's up for them.
So what was the point? I'm confused.
Oh, okay. But no. See, before I get into that, I got to give you some stats.
Oh, boy.
All right. Remember when they said lack funds to continue. All right. So even with the refunds that were made, like from the first 4 days.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Mm-hmm. They made $3 million.
What?
Even when Steam, of course, takes, like, Steam always takes a cut of the profits. They made $3 million.
Jeez.
So $3 million was not enough to keep the game up and running for even just a couple months.
Oh my gosh.
That's very interesting. You want to know what's even more interesting? A reporter tried going to their office in Singapore, which was apparently where they were based out of.
Mm-hmm.
And when they arrived to the address listed, nothing.
Didn't exist.
Oh, no. The place is a co-op workspace.
Uh-huh.
So essentially, like, where multiple offices, they just get,
okay,
they go in there,
yeah,
and,
yeah,
like, claim the address. But the office manager, when asked about it, apparently there was never a Fantastic Studio working there.
Have you seen The Beekeeper?
I haven't yet. I need to.
You need to watch The Beekeeper.
I need to. It's on my list.
Because that's what it sounds like.
But I'm pretty sure if it goes anywhere like what this is about to happen, just let me know straight up, like, that's exactly what's about to happen. Because I'm like, all right, it sounds about right. So essentially, they just used the address for a virtual office. And then they apparently had another address in Singapore. And when they went there, it was a team of managing consultants. Not fantastic at all. Now, there's some speculation as to what may have happened. Here's, like, some, like, what other people have, like, described, like, some more business tycoons that they would think happened.
Mm-hmm.
And here, like, some, like, what, like, here's what we all perceive might have happened.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Brace yourselves. Fantastic was actually based out of Russia.
Oh, boy.
And they incorporated themselves in Singapore to sidestep any sanctions that was being held. And Fantastic had to make several filings with the Singaporean government. Those reports are actually in the public record. And apparently, Fantastic filed about $3 million in revenue in 2022. The two guys who owned Fantastic, the two brothers, paid themselves $200K each. They had a travel expense of $300K or $25K a month of just them traveling.
Jeez Louise.
Who spends $25K just traveling? Crazy. But of that $3 million revenue, they declared that $1 million of it was in profits.
Mm.
And pretty much profits after, like, paying out, you know, themselves, yeah, and, like, all the travel costs and everything. And $1.5 million of that is just in their bank accounts. So that $1.5 million in their bank accounts plus the $3 million they made off this game.
For now.
How are they not able to, I forgot that they actually had an investor and publisher, Mytona, right?
Mm-hmm.
They helped fund them as well. So how do they not have money to maintain this company after 4 days?
Hmm?
yeah, these are questions to be had.
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, make it make sense for me. So, of course, as I said, after this fourth day, and when they announced their closure, Valve delisted the game off Steam for good. The brothers scrubbed Fantastic from all of their media. So, mm-hmm, their social media accounts like LinkedIn and YouTube are gone. Twitter, or X, formerly known as Twitter, gone. Website, gone, because it worked last time. Mytona, the investors, had to make a public statement themselves. Basically, and, like, okay, we screwed up. we are going to be issuing refunds for the for this game to anybody who requests the refund. But here's the thing about Mike Toner, right? They had, as investors, they had to be the ones to like see, oversee the process, see all the reviews, and had to be the one to approve the game at every major development cycle. They were the ones who ran point on that legal issue with the copyright. And they are the ones who led the marketing, aka they helped create those trailers.
The plot thickens.
So, in essence, Fantastic wouldn't have gotten as far as they did without Mitona helping. Interesting. They, so in other words, they're just as culpable as Fantastic is.
Absolutely.
But now, well, hey, at least they're issuing out refunds. Good for them. But now let's go ahead and draw this to a close with chapter 10. So, the day before, an absolute meme in culture become an absolute joke. DayZ, you know DayZ, right?
Yep.
One of my favorite games, like the survival genre. They posted on their X account just for no reason at all. It was like, I think they were approaching like their 10-year anniversary of the game. And like the way that they formatted their thanks to like the to the people were formatted in a very similar style to how Fantastic pretty much posted on their Twitter. And then they collaborated with another like game called Icarus and for like a sale. You want to know what they called the sale?
What?
The day after. And no major network reviewed the game except IGN. And you know what score they gave IGN? What IGN gave the game?
The day before or the day after?
The day before.
Above a 7?
Nah. Not even close, my boy. They gave it a 1.
Okay, because they were the ones posting all the trailers, so I got confused.
Yep.
Yes, that makes sense now.
Oh, yeah.
Absolute sense.
And the last time they did this was a long time ago, so... But the icing on the cake... And this part just kills me. It just kills me. All right. So right before they scrubbed everything, Fantastic was like issuing, they were like tweeting like how, hey, we're going to issue refunds, right? And then one person said like, hey, you're like terrible for like doing this scam, pretty much giving them the riot act. Here's how Fantastic replied. This was our first experience. Sugar honey iced tea happened.
Wow. That's wild. That's like, yeah, we got the buy-in, right?
Ish happened. That was literally the last thing they tweeted before scrubbing everything. Man, that is how Fantastic and the day before came, blew up, and went out with a whimper.
Dang. That was much bigger than I thought it was, because originally I was just like, yo, this was a failed development thing. And I was like, wondering why people called it a scam. But after all that, geez Louise, how did they get away with that?
That's a good question. How did they get away with it?
Yeah, usually with scams, it's like you get the money first and then you just don't even drop the game. Like, why even bother dropping the game at a certain point? But yeah, that's insane. I'm so confused now.
That's why I said this has to be studied. This is why you needed to be here, because there's no way I could accurately do this without you on here to get your reaction to this absolute travesty.
Oh, that's insane. Anything else you have to add for it?
I mean, at this point, I think I've said enough.
Yeah. So with that, listeners, we've learned all we could about this game. I need to take an Advil, and we're going to take a quick break and be right back. All right. So with this being of March, we are still doing our Woman Creator of the Week. And so this one, I had to go to another creator that unfortunately passed away last week or in the past 2 weeks. So this is to Janice Burgess, who recently passed away at the age of 72. So to those that don't specifically know the name, she was the creator of the Backyardigans, which was on Nick Jr., something that I remember growing up too and watching. I remember just like being younger, watching that with my little sister. especially like over like summer breaks when we could actually be at home since school was out, and like watching that in the morning and just like the adventures that went on, kind of the impact. But other things that I just kind of wanted to list off of her, but she also created the Winx Club. She oversaw development. She wasn't the creator, but oversaw development of Gullah Gullah Island, Blue's Clues, and Little Bill. And then the thing with the, and she's a multiple-time daytime Emmy winner as well. And then the thing with the Backyard Again, the first attempt was in 1998, and it was live action with like puppets or like people in like puppet outfits and stuff. But like they launched a pilot that didn't work out. But then the Backyardigans launched in 2004. So like 6-7 year time period of like getting that, you know, back. And we mentioned, you mentioned with Akira Toriyama, where it's like, hey, it was so hard to get this one of the most popular animes of all time into like just manga production. It goes to show just with Janice, like the perseverance of a creator. Something that's definitely inspirational, and then being able to touch people and touch people's hearts. So that is the creator of the week for us.
Dang, yeah, definitely. RIP Janice, please. I don't really have too many memories of the Backyardigans because I think I like aged out of it by the time, but I definitely like know of the characters. I know of Backyardigans. I'm sure a lot of kids definitely enjoyed it. But yeah, rest easy, yeah. Queen.
So definitely wanted to give that appreciation. So now transitioning into that to wrap up the show, we're going to get into our a quick what's hot. So this is just what's hot in anime, essentially just nerd culture, movies, TV shows, different things, books, gaming, comics. So Meech, what you got?
All right, here we go. Okay, so Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is out. And yeah, to all the... to all the shippers out there, it's confirmed. That's all I'm willing to say about that. Just take that how you will. So no spoiler alert there. Also, at the time of this vid, Spider-Man 2 got its update, baby. New game plus. Them symbiote suits got new skins. I'm replaying this game after my depression, after I finished watching all of Dragon Ball Z one more time for the GOAT. But yes, I'm going to get right back on it. I need to go heal the world one more time. Let's see. What else? In the realm of anime, of course, the usual. One Piece. Goated. Solo Leveling. Goated. Ninja Kamui. Good heavens. Let's see. Oh, yeah. There's also the Demon Slayer movie that's out in theaters right now. Go watch it if you haven't already. I already read the manga, so I already know what type of nonsense is about to happen. Let's see, what else? Oh yeah, Shogun on Hulu.
Yes.
Woo! Phenomenal series. I love it.
Yes.
The only thing missing was a Predator.
yes.
Just give me a Predator.
Come in.
Give me a Predator with Hiroyuki Sanada. That's all I need. That's all that is needed. Yeah, and then of course MK1 released Peacemaker. I don't know if I'm going to hop back on that real soon. I'm just waiting till Homelander drops. Because I just know. Pal World staying solid as always. Reparations for me is going to be complete soon. and then of course, in the realm of movies, right? We have ourselves just Invincible Season 2. Jeez.
I don't know. We're looking up the date. It comes out March 14th.
Yeah, I'm out here violating for no reason. Hold on.
So it comes out the week that this episode releases.
Yeah, so by the time you listen to this episode, go watch Invincible Season 2, because you know I will. And then also, we can't forget the other go, Bad Batch Season 2.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean the final season. My bad. But yeah, what you got?
Just quickly, the Fallout TV show dropped a new trailer.
Oh, yeah.
That trailer looked good. I'm definitely excited for it. All I need is a Deathclaw, and I'm good with that. Kung Fu Panda 4, the movie's dropping soon. You already mentioned Shogun. And then just for my weekly Baldur's Gate update, the zestiness of the people in this game and online is ridiculous. I saw thirst tweets from to the voice actors of Lazelle and Shadowheart and then Asterion, which was The Asterion one was egregious, but I chose Lazelle. And yeah, so I am currently trying to fight the Absolute and working my way towards that. Don't shake your head. I will say this. I'm going to get back onto Spider-Man soon, Spider-Man 2 soon, but I can see why this one game of the year. I got to finish it first. There's different things where I liked about Spider-Man 2 better, but there's great aspects of it. So yeah.
Yeah, cool. And speaking of games, finally, Helldivers 2, they released mechs.
Oh my god.
We got Gundams now.
Democracy.
Democracy is about to be spread to this entire universe. I'm not even going to hold you. A Super Earth!
Alright, so, do you have any recommendations? My only recommendation, if you want to play a real horror game, zombie survival horror game, obviously Last of Us, Last of Us 2, and then the Days Gone. Days Gone is really good.
I was about to say,
Days Gone.
If you want to play like a real version of what this game is supposed to be, play DayZ. Literally, just play that. You'll be fine.
Or The Division, which is what this game was.
Play Tom Clancy's The Division if you want. And if you want to just experience the trailers for yourself, just go on YouTube. Just go play Red Dead Redemption 2. Play Black Ops Cold War Zombies.
Jeez Louise.
You'll get the full experience.
All right, for next week, just general housekeeping, with March being towards the end of March being the release of Godzilla Kong, New Empire, which we are both hyped and excited for our Godzilla. We will be going into an intro to the Monsterverse, talk about the Toho movie monsters up into the current legendary run of the monsters. So we're going to cover all of those different aspects of it going into the past and then branch out as much as we can just in preparation for the Godzilla Kong crossover.
Yeah.
So any plugs you got?
You already know the ones. We on Instagram, X formerly known as Twitter, and Threads under Blurred City 22. Like, subscribe, comment on our Instagram posts or vids. Stay up to date on all our schedules. We also have our Discord linked in said Instagram page where you can join this fine community of degenerates. And please, if you have ever played the day before, and if you have like bought the game, please run through that process with us. Please let us know, because I just genuinely want to know like what was it like from a firsthand source. And then we have ourselves our YouTube and our Patreon under Blurred City Pod. That's where you can join this fine community of degenerates and donate a little bit of cheddar in order to get access to exclusive videos that may or may not have seen the light of day. Then, of course, we have ourselves our email address, blurredcity22@gmail.com. That's where you can submit questions for Q&A sessions, geek out, freak out, all of the sundry fun and nonsense that is required of us. And then for my personal page, I have an Instagram under both The Rogue Meech and then The Jedi Ronin. And then that's also my TikTok handle. And for those two, that's where you can go in and see like my training as a Jedi. With The Rogue Meech, you're probably going to see mostly my workout, you know, regimen and me becoming the strongest and being ready for DreamCon 2024. But yeah, that's all I got.
All right. For my individual author pages, we have my X account. That is at the mad-16. For my Instagram, that's at metri_dash, and if you're interested in my book Phantom Reckoning, A Most Irregular Tale, that is available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. So with that, any words of encouragement you have? I left mine kind of just like what we talked about with Akira and both Janice Burgess as well.
Yeah, those are pretty great ones to leave us on it, Philon. But if you want to hear one from me, if you see any red flags or you feel any red flags coming in, your instinct's probably right. Just don't follow it. Remember, when you see a red flag, what do? We stop.
Yes. All right. And as we say, it's not goodbye forever. It's just goodbye for now. And that's the Blurred City Podcast.
See ya later.